the number of Michigan school districts facing serious financial challenges continues to grow. Yesterday, State School Superintendent Mike Flanagan reported there are 55 districts across the state operating in the red. That's up by six just since the start of the year. Flanagan updates the state legislature quarterly on school finances. He commented that the situation requires, quote, more resources, unquote. Joining us to comment on the school funding challenge and other educational issues, former Michigan School Superintendent and China expert Tom Watkins. Welcome back, Tom.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Mark. Thank you.
What's happening here? What's to account for this ongoing climb in the number of school districts with deficits?
Well, I think the first thing is that it's only a crisis because we've had leaders that have failed to act. This issue has been in the forefront for nearly a decade, whether it's the Citizens Research Council, kind of the Sargent Friday of Public Policy that laid out these issues, Michigan business leaders that have pointed it out, and even my time as state superintendent. I wrote a report called The Structural Funding Issues Facing Michigan Schools in the 21st Century. And so I think what you're seeing today is kind of a Rip Van Winkle approach. I mean, people that have denied an issue was an issue, haven't taken action, and it's coming home to roost. And the action is that, as State Superintendent Flanagan has pointed out, we have, with chartered schools and our local school districts, we have over 800 school districts in the state of Michigan. A lot of those districts are losing students, and every student that walks away from a district takes approximately $10,000 with them. So if you lose 100 students, you've lost $1 million. And they haven't taken the subsequent action to downsize, to cut costs as quickly as they're losing revenue. Hence, today, as the superintendent pointed out yesterday, 55 school districts are, you know, on the brink of financial insolvency. This is an issue that's going to require action at the state level. And as I laid out in this report nearly a decade ago, it's going to require consolidating school districts, dissolving some school districts. We have school districts as small as 400 students. And it's going to require dealing with some of the structural funding issues, particularly as it relates to the cost of health care and pensions. Until, unless we deal with these issues, we're going to continue to see this, quote, crisis facing Michigan schools.
Superintendent Flanagan made a call yesterday for county-wide school districts. Is that the kind of, are you advising consolidation similar to that?
Well, I don't think we should go to a kind of a Henry Ford when he said, you know, you can have any color car you want as long as it's black. I think that we ought to take a look at how schools are organized and come up with a more efficient and effective way that maybe countywide school district. That's the way they do it in Maryland and in Florida as an example. But I think that if we put thoughtful minds together, and in fact, I have an article on this very subject in today's Dome magazine. Your listeners can see it at domemagazine.com, where I say that we really need to put people from the left and the right in a room and to come up with a shared vision and common agenda at how we address the needs of public education. We spend over $13 billion a year for 550 school districts, 55 intermediate school districts, 300 chartered schools. And we need to ask ourselves, if we found this place called Michigan with 1.6 million students to educate and $13 billion that washed up on our shore each year, would anybody in their right mind create the system that we currently have now to prepare our kids for a hyper-competitive, disruptive knowledge economy where ideas and jobs can and do move around the world instantaneously? I don't think they would.
At the same time, Superintendent Flanagan says 23 districts indicate they are projected to reduce deficits this year. Are these presumably then the districts to which students are going that are actually seeing some kind of net increase in their enrollment?
Well, I think, again, each community is different because you do have students moving into some districts and leaving others. But a number of these districts have been perpetual in financial distress. There's only three ways to balance a budget, and that is to either increase your revenue, which local districts do not have the ability to do under state law, it's state-funded school districts, decrease your expenditures, which oftentimes are very difficult to do at the rate that some districts are losing students, or a combination of increasing revenue and decreasing expenditures. What we have is what I would say is a kind of pretend and spend approach. We pretend as though we're going to see a student enrollment increase when, in fact, districts continue to lose students, and that puts them in financial distress. Sooner or later, if you got a hole in your roof, pretending to fix it doesn't keep the rain out. You absolutely have to get up there and fix the hole. And a lot of these districts have been pretending and spending for far too long.
Is the Saginaw Buena Vista situation, the shutdown up there, is that a logical manifestation of this problem that you're talking about?
Well, I think that it's compounded by, it appears, where they accepted money, $400,000+, for a program they were no longer existing. So it appears that there's, either lack of oversight, mismanagement, a little dishonesty, coupled with not dealing with reality. But again, I mean, here's a community that's in an urban area, 450 students. We have elementary schools that are larger than that. We need to take a look and ask ourselves, is this the best way to use limited tax dollars to prepare our children for their future and not our past? We need to ask fundamental questions. Are schools run for TLC? And I don't mean tender, loving care, but are they run for teaching, learning, and children? Or is it more about power, control, politics, and adults? And the focus is on TLC, teaching, learning, and children. Adults make solid decisions that benefit our kids. And when it's not, we end up with the kind of mess that we're seeing today.
We're talking with former Michigan School Superintendent Tom Watkins about education in Michigan. The new state budget includes an increase of a few percent in school funding. What's the relevance of that?
Well, Mike, this is the fundamental question. Is we have a structural imbalance of school funding. In fact, I call it the pothole of educational funding. School districts, based upon the legacy cost, primarily around salaries, health care, and pensions. And while there's been some action on the pension side of this equation, school districts need between $250 to $300 new money just to deal with those three issues. If they don't get it, the superintendents and the school boards have to act like the old Pac-Man game, finding ways to gobble up and cut other costs. And if you imagine a pothole, the first $100 of new money that comes into a school district pays for pension costs, and these are approximations. The next shovelful of asphalt that comes into school funding covers health care for retirees. The third shovel of new money that comes in takes care of health care for existing staff. Now, when you figure that schools have not seen anything more than about a $75 on average increase for nearly the last decade, you see the problem that we are in. And so if we're not going to find a way to either put these resources in and make the school districts whole, we're going to continue to see these kind of cuts that are going to happen. This new money that comes in sounds like a large sum of money, but it's a number of districts are going to get, after they get a minimal payment for their pension, about $5 extra per child.
Yeah.
And with the fixed cost, you could see the problem.
Yesterday, the State House passed a measure that loosens up the state-mandated merit curriculum. A couple of supporters of this move were on our program on Wednesday, claiming that the change would help them overcome a shortage of workers in construction. How compelling a case is there for loosening up existing mandatory curriculum in Michigan?
Look, Our children are not competing against just the kid in the next desk over or even the next school district over. Our children are going to need to be able to collaborate and compete with the children of the world. And I think having high, rigorous academic standards is the direction that we should go and provide the local districts the flexibility, which I believe that they have, in order to accommodate both high-quality academic performance at the university and vocational training programs. I think this is kind of a tempest in the teapot. There are ways to do it within the existing structure.
It's a very interesting landscape, really, because you've got compelling calls for both toughening some standards and loosening up other standards. Where is this headed?
Well, and I believe that the state is heading in the right direction in this way, and that is the state should set very high, rigorous academic standards, and then say to the local districts, it's in essence saying, we expect you to be at California at the end of the year. How you get there is up to the local districts. So there are ways that they have the flexibility, in my estimation, in order to have both their cake and eat it too, have the high standards and allow the local districts to find different ways to reach those standards.
Tom Watkins is Michigan's former state school superintendent. Tom Watkins, always a pleasure. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.